for those who bleed silver and black. Tune in weekdays at 2 for Silver and Black Today with Scott Gulbranson here on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM, KRLV Las Vegas. Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada, it's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Gulbranson.
Happy Monday, Raider Nation, or maybe not so happy. Welcome back to Silver and Black Today, powered by our friends Sam and Ash. Call them anytime, 702-820-1234. They are your injury attorneys because you deserve what's right, good folks. So if you need help, reach out to Sam and Ash. By the way, Sam and Ash will be with us later in the show. We'll talk to them about yesterday's game. We'll also ask them about the Bears and the Rams tonight, who you got in that one. In addition, on today's show, Hondo Carpenter will be joining us for his usual Monday 2:30 p.m. slot, and then we'll also do our 13 minutes with Hunter Renfro. The only place you'll hear that in all of Raider Nation and all of Raider Radio on Raider Nation Radio. That's our weekly segment with Hunter here, and that is brought to you by the Laborers Local 872. We thank them for all they do here in Las Vegas and for sponsoring Hunter's segment. Okay, I bring in my co-host, Q Myers. Q, well, we thought maybe the Raiders wouldn't win the game, but we saw some ugliness out there that many of us may soon want to forget.
Yeah, it got out of hand. It really did, and that's unfortunate. The Raiders had, I feel, a really good chance in that game, and they were really close in the fourth quarter, and then it unraveled quick, fast, and in a hurry, like I like to say, and that's unfortunate. And obviously the team has a lot of growing still to do, and I know we'll get into it and talk about it a lot on today's show, but they're not where they need to be, especially defensively.
No, absolutely. Raiders get blown out at home 45-20 to the Buccaneers. Now losers the last three of four games, including dropping two in a row at home in the new Allegiant Stadium called the Death Star. I like to call it the Big Al. I've gone to that for some reason. The team's defense continues to be a problem. Q, again, no sacks yesterday. They cannot get to the QB, can't even pressure the quarterback, meaning the heavy work goes to the back end, where yesterday they had injuries. Of course, Damon Arnett's still out. They're young, and they were without Jonathan Abram due to COVID. It was just kind of a concoction that you just felt like, boy, that was not going to work if they couldn't get a pass rush.
No, you knew that they had to go into that game and they had to put pressure on Tom Brady like they did on Patrick Mahomes, you know, a couple weeks ago. They had to get in the backfield and they had to make him uncomfortable. And, well, he threw the ball, what, 43 times?
Right.
And he was pretty much not touched at all. So he was very comfortable and he did what he did. And I'll tell you, I know I was one of the guys that said a couple weeks ago, I thought Tom Brady looked like he was kind of washed. Well, I'll say he looked like he was in real midseason form, and he was looking really good for Tampa Bay, him and Gronk, on Sunday. So, my bad. I got that one wrong.
Yeah, Tom Brady, second in the NFL with 18 touchdown passes, trailing just Russell Wilson. He has just four interceptions. He's thrown for 1,910 yards in seven games, which is about his seventh in the league, just ahead of Patrick Mahomes and Wilson. So, yeah, Tom Brady still got a little bit of gas left in that tank. By the way, the Raiders are a team, Q, who spent somewhere around $90 million on defense this past offseason. They signed Malik Collins, Carl Nassib, Corey Littleton, Nick Kwiatkowski. They drafted Damon Arnett, who's out. And they still can't play defense. We're seeing sophomore slumps from Max Crosby, Cleveland Furl, and third-year players Mo Hurst and Arden Key are unreliable. Devin White, of course, came into this game talking a lot of trash, and he had a game and maybe made the Raiders think about that. But what's in the past is in the past. What you have now is a Raider team, Q, who, you know what, I'm sorry to say, I know John Gruden just got finished with his press conference. We'll hear from him later. Is they are who they are. It's not going to change a lot. You can fire coaches all you want. It's not going to change. Yeah, you might get a guy here or a guy there to play better on defense, but in listening to John Gruden today, it sounds like he is reserved to the fact that, yes, they can get better. How much better? Not sure. But the reality here is, Q, in my view, the offense is going to have to do it all. It's just going to have to. It's not fair, but that's the way it looks like.
it just is what it is. You know, unfortunately, like you said, I thought following the game on Sunday, listening to John Gruden's presser, it sounded like some major changes were coming along the defensive side. But then today, listening to his presser, sounded like they're rolling with whatever they got, and they're going to try to scheme up something new with the same players that they have, which I think that the players have talent. They're just not, I don't know, they're not executing. And so it's a big question mark. It's like, how do you get the most out of them? I mean, really, along that defensive line, Max Crosby is the only guy that opposing offenses even prepare for. You know, like, mm-hmm. Hey, where's this guy? Let's make sure we, you know, block him or make sure that we scheme him up, you know, make it difficult on him to get to the quarterback. Everyone else, they're like, hey, we'll just roll with. And I'm not at all trying to be disrespectful to the Raiders' defensive line, but it just is what it is. You call a spade. They couldn't get any pressure on the quarterback, and that's been a growing theme for a long time now.
Yeah, and if you look at what's happened with the Raiders' defense, it's not even being disrespectful, Q, because, you know, you have to call out what it is. I mean, I mentioned, actually, Mo Hurst did get a quarter, but he's the only one who touched Tom Brady yesterday. And Mo Hurst, at times, I think, has looked really good, but he's been inconsistent. A lot of people want to see him play more snaps. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's what changes you're going to see right away, is they're going to start moving guys in and out and say, hey, just give me what you got. Some of those guys, Dayton Jones, take him off the practice squad. He came out, he did well in his one game. So you might see some movement on the roster there. But the bottom line is that even though it's a results-based business, wins and losses, the Raiders have a lot of money sunk into guys who are not performing. And so they're going to go longer than they probably would if they were just some minimum free agent than they would if it wasn't a big-name guy. So to me, I think that's what you look at. But if you look at some of the statistics, Q, Cleveland Furrell, who we had on the show a couple weeks ago, has been on the field for 150 pass snaps in his career. In the season, 129 for Arden Key, 124 for Malik Collins. The three of them combined have zero sacks and five QB hits. You can't have it. You just can't have it.
It's got to be better.
It's got to be
a lot better, man. And it's just, it's one of those frustrating things, man, because you know exactly what they need to do, and they know what they need to do, and for some reason, it's just not translating to the field, you know? And the easy answer is fire Paul Gunther, and then, you know, then what? You know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. You know, what do you do then? Do you have a guy that you feel confident in to get more out of these guys? I don't think that's the case. I think it's just a matter of them going out there, having a little bit more want to, and executing. And right now, they're just not doing it.
No, and I said this earlier online, and that is, just firing the coach isn't going to change things. It's not like a magic cure-all, okay?
Right.
And I'm not saying he doesn't deserve blame or responsibility. He is accountable. Absolutely. Right. And somebody said to me, you can't fire the whole defense. That's right. You can't. So when you take that point of view, there's I see people out there going nuts on Paul Gunther, and then they're tweeting their loves and kisses and X's and O's to players. And it's like, right. Those guys aren't doing their job either. So this whole thing has to be fixed, and it has to be fixed from within, which is what John Gruden said late today in the press conference. So from that perspective, if you guys thought John Gruden was going to step up there today and say, I'm firing everybody and I'm making six trades, no, it's not going to happen that way. It's going to have to happen organically from within, and that's what he said today, and we'll figure out what they do there. But the Raiders have allowed 190 points this season, the second most they have allowed through six games in franchise history. The greatest before that was 228 in 1961. So the defense, we all know where it's at. Offense yesterday, Q. Oh, by the way, give us a call. You got to tell us what you guys think. 702-365-9200 is the number to get in on the conversation. But I thought yesterday the offense, considering the disaster that was last week with the entire offensive line being quarantined, I thought they did okay. You know,
I thought they did fine.
Yeah.
I didn't have a problem with them at all. They overcame a lot of issues, including the rotating door at the right tackle position multiple times on Sunday. They were in the game. They gave themselves a chance to win. The defense didn't hold up their part of the bargain. And, you know, there's things you can question about things that the offense did. But ultimately, they were out there performing, and they weren't complimented by the defense.
No, they weren't. And I know a lot, and Gruden made it, and you even said it as we opened up here. Well, they were close late in the game. Yeah, but then you gave up three straight touchdowns, right? So the fact is, the offense, I thought, did what they could do. And they needed a pick-me-up. They needed the defense to create opportunities for them, and they didn't. So someone who's going to call in and tell me that the problem's the offense, clearly didn't watch the game or hasn't watched any of the games, but the defense is a problem here. At the same time, you get down like they were when momentum switched, and then again, then you have people coming out wanting Derek Carr to be who he's not. Derek Carr had a fine game yesterday, but he's not the kind of guy who's going to fling it and make you come back, especially with a patchwork offensive line and the fact that they couldn't establish a run game against that great Tampa defense. And so I just find that Raider fans need to take a breath because, again, as ugly as the defense has been continually, this team is still 3-3. We talked in the preseason that this team at this point could very easily be 1-5. Okay, I'm not saying you should be happy with mediocrity or right. 500, but at 3-3 with this tough part of the schedule now past it, although I think going to Cleveland is tough too. But nonetheless, I think that it is the floor of where you'd want to be.
I mean, it is. Again, I think the most frustrating part, and I'm sure we'll hear from Raider fans in just a little bit, but the most frustrating part is the fact that you're in the game. It's a game that you could win. And I know that they gave up multiple touchdowns late in the game, but at that point, I mean, especially after that tip ball off of Nelson Aguilar's hands and it goes for an interception, then you see the wheels fall off. Then, of course, they're going to go for it on fourth down. They don't get it. I mean, I get that. It just happens. It was a 7-minute stretch, and it just got crazy. Yeah. But they were in the game. They were right there. They were having the opportunity. They were about to get the ball back, down 4 points. All you got to do is come up and tackle on 3rd and 13. You play the sticks, and you get off the field. And they couldn't do it. They allowed a check down to go for 14 yards. That's a problem right there in itself.
Absolutely. That was, to me, the most important play of the game, obviously, because they were right there. You're right. And that's the thing. In football, you have to play for. I don't care what level you're at high school. You cover high school, Q. It doesn't matter what level you're in. You have to play four quarters, two halves, whichever it is at that level. You have to play four quarters. And the Raiders, you can be proud of the fact that you were right there and you were playing with them, but you didn't get the job done. I mean, that's the bottom line. Coach said that. Derek Carr said that yesterday. All the guys said that yesterday. So we're going to go back on the phone lines, and now we're bringing in Roger. Roger from Las Vegas. Roger, what do you got to say on this Monday?
Actually, I'm originally from Kansas City, and we're just calling because the Raiders are where we were 3 years ago. Great offense and a horrible defense. Mm. And I remember when 2 years ago when the Chiefs lost the championship game because they couldn't stop anybody, Reed said, "I'm not there yet," when they asked him about the defensive coordinator. Mm. And I said, until Reed get there, the Chiefs ain't going anywhere. Until they finally got rid of Guthrie Cunningham, they finally got a good enough defense to win a Super Bowl. So that's where the Raiders are right now. Great offense, terrible defense. I don't know if it's the scheme or what, but the defense is not working.
Roger. Yeah, good call, man. I appreciate that. Yeah, no, and he's right. You know, that's a positive call, actually, because it says, look, you know, you're close. There's a guy who's a Chiefs fan who says, look, that's where we were, and that's sort of what the Raiders are trying to do is get to where the Chiefs have been. All right, we're going back on the phone line real quick to Stan in Las Vegas. Stan, you're on Silver and Black today with Q and Scott here on Raider Nation Radio.
Yep. Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good, Stan.
Chilling.
Good. Hey, just a couple comments on the game yesterday. Everybody's obviously frustrated about the defense, and no exception here. I find it unbelievable just how predictable the defense is. It's just there's no stunts, there's no crazy blitzes or anything that throws off the other team, and you can't do that with a guy like Brady, obviously. And so he torched us. I don't know if you guys watched the Seahawks game with Arizona last night. But with Arizona lining up eight guys on the front, you didn't know who was rushing, who was blitzing, who wasn't. It totally threw off Russell Wilson's game, and they ended up losing that game. And I think that's what the Raiders need to do. They need to start doing stunts. They need to start bringing guys, not bringing guys, dropping them back, making it totally unpredictable for the quarterback because you can't make it that easy, huh?
Yeah, Stan. No, go ahead.
Okay, I think I think the guys on defense are good. Those front four guys, they just need some help. If we could throw those linemen off, they don't know who they're supposed to block. They got six guys coming one guy at a time. They got four guys coming another time. They got eight guys coming another time. We need to keep them off balance, man. You just can't let them be so comfortable, be in their comfort zone like they were. So Yeah, that's my two cents.
All right, Stan, thanks for the call, man. Yeah, and you know the Raiders have done that though. There has been spots where they switched it up, and John Gruden said today that they're going to look at scheme because they have to, and look at players. So they're going to change it up a little bit. But Q, I've seen them try to do that, but even when they do blitz, they don't get home.
Right, exactly, and when you blitz, you're also setting yourself up for failure, because if you don't get home, there's a good chance you're going to get burned on the back end, and a lot of times that happens, you know. And I'll say one thing about the defense. Jonathan Abram was really severely missed on Sunday. You could clearly see that he wasn't out there and how much that he's needed for multiple reasons to be around the line of scrimmage, you know, kind of play a linebacker, hybrid linebacker role. I mean, there was a lot of issues without Jonathan Abram out there.
Yeah, no doubt. And that creates, especially you're down a man like him in the back end, which means you have to get a pass rush. And of course they did. And after the game, this is what Gruden said about not getting enough pass rush.
But I'm not making any excuses. We did not get enough pass rush today. And if you let Tom Brady stand back there and survey the field, he's proven for 20 years, and he proved it for 21 years, that he's still one of the very, very best.
Yeah, they set themselves up to get beat badly because of that. You knew you're thin in the defensive backfield, and you couldn't do it. And then you talk about that third and 13 cue where the both linebackers really just played kind of lazy. They were too far back.
Too deep,
and they were not in position. And that, you know what, you can coach a guy to do that, but when you get out there and do the play, if you fall off and you're not staying in your spot and playing where you're supposed to be, that's what happens.
Right, exactly. And that's fundamental football. You know, you can look at Paul Gunther and say he's the problem, but that is straight up fundamentals. There's nothing that's, you know, like exotic or, oh my gosh, next level. You know, you only learn that when you get to the NFL. No, you know, you play the sticks, you don't get too deep, you let everything go in front of you, and then you come up and make the tackle. Tackling is fundamental, and there was a lot of missed tackles on Sunday, and that's just fundamentals.
Right, and then you look at the other side of the coin. It's always easy to second-guess a coach on a Monday, okay? I know that, but in the press box, we're all watching the game, and I'm talking, of course, about the fourth and long one in the fourth quarter where John Gruden decided to go for the field goal. The Raiders defense could not stop Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. So there was a collective, what? Because we just saw it and thought, well, geez, it's great that he's got confidence in his defense that hasn't been able to stop anybody. But again, I thought that it was really telling that he did not have, in my view, the faith in the offense to go out and do that. So he made the judgment call, and I respect it either way. You go one way or the other. But he was asked after the game about, hey, did you really think you're going to hold them if you just kick the field goal versus going for it in fourth and one?
It was a 24-20 game at that time with the field goal, and we felt at home, a little momentum. We could hold Tampa to at least a field goal or possibly get off the field. We had them third and 12. Unfortunately, we had them right where we wanted them, and they converted on a check down.
Yeah, so that's what we were talking about, that third and 13, like you mentioned, the mm-hmm. dump-off cue. But in that situation, you're at home, and I get it, but you just have not been able to do it. So instead, you get the three, and then you give up the seven, and you're down by, you know, 11 points. It's just not, to me, against Kansas City, they did everything differently. Now, of course, there was much more going on in that game, in that second half especially. They were playing good defense, but I just still feel that there's just not enough confidence in those situations to go out there and get the 1 yard.
I didn't have a problem with it, actually. I thought it was a good idea. I thought, you know, kicking the field goal is fine. The defense had made a stop here or there, you know, earlier in the game. And with that momentum, I did feel like they had some momentum. And again, they did. They were in third and 13. You're off the field. You know what I mean? You did everything right except for seal the deal. I mean, you stop them on third and 13, you get the ball back, you most likely are about to go down there and score, because, again, I thought the offense did a good job. So I didn't have a problem with it. I was okay with that call.
Interesting. Yeah. No, I thought you go the other way on that one because you're at home. It's like, look, get it down, and if you really think your defense can hold them, then why not do it? But you know, but hey, again, it's that's why he makes the big bucks. Okay, we're gonna step aside and take a break. When we come back, we'll roll through some more of your calls at 702-365-9200. And then coming up at the bottom of the hour, Hondo Carpenter from Sports Illustrated's Raider Maven website will join us. We'll get his take on the game. You're with Q and Scott here on Silver and Black Today, only on Raider Nation Radio.
There's a lot of people talking about, are we making changes? Are we going to bring in new coaches, new players? We are where we are. We're 3-3. We play some really good offenses. Just so you know, Tom Brady's a problem for a lot of people. And so is Drew Brees, and certainly a lot of the guys that we've seen are very good players. But we're going to stick together, bond together. We're going to make some changes in the lineup possibly and in the scheme that we use, and we're hoping we change the results that we're getting.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black Today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Welcome back. Silver and Black Today. Scott Gulbranson, Q Myers with you as we digest what happened yesterday at Allegiant Stadium. The 45-20 win by the Buccaneers, and Tom Brady, the 43-year-old quarterback, slinging it around, looking pretty dang good. Remember, everybody thought, well, he'll be a game manager. Yeah, not so much. Not so much. But there was John Gruden talking about coaching changes. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. I woke up, Q, to seeing all these Raider fans and fan media and all these guys like saying, is Gunther fired yet?
Right.
It's like, yeah, that's not how it
sounded
works.
Like that was the direction it was headed after the game yesterday, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you think so, but at the same time, it's like, again, like you said so many weeks ago, you know, what's it really get you? I mean, you're talking about Rod Marinelli probably stepping in, and how's his defensive line played? Not great. So we'll see, but we'll have plenty to talk about this week, I am sure, and see what kind of changes they make before they head to the mistake by the lake, and that is Cleveland. Ryan in Las Vegas joins us now on the Raider Nation Hotline. Ryan, you're with Scott and Q. What's going on today?
Hey, thanks, guys. So two things. One, you guys were talking about Jonathan Abram. I feel like even if he was there yesterday, they still would have gave up 45 points just because he hasn't played to his potential, I feel, this year. Mm. And second, Gruden talked in the press conference about getting to the quarterback. And I feel like that's been a theme for this team for the past three seasons. But I feel like they used to have a future Hall of Famer on the defense that could get to the quarterback if they never traded him away.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, that makes sense. Thanks again, Ryan. I appreciate it. But the Khalil Mack thing, yeah, it is what it is. It's gone. You got Josh Jacobs. You got a bunch of other guys, including the guy you mentioned, Jonathan Abram, because of that trade, right? So I get that. They got better last year, and then now they've regressed, Q. So
right.
I don't know. I mean,
well, again, Max Crosby was the guy that caught a lot of people by surprise, and they didn't realize how good he was going to be. Well, defensive coordinator or offensive coordinator, excuse me, they get paid too. And so they're not going to allow that guy to wreck their game plan, you know, like he did in 2019. So they're focusing in on him, and they're going to say, you know what, someone else get to the quarterback, and we bet that they can't. And right now, the Raiders have 7 sacks on the season, so that means that they're guessing right. You know, Max Crosby has 4 of them.
Four of them.
So there's that.
2 of them in one game, right?
Right.
We're going out to Mike in Las Vegas as well. Mike, you're on with Q and Scott.
Yeah, I was just thinking that they're more sensitive on the pass interference on one side, and then a lot of the Raiders are getting held with a hand checking a lot more and not being called on their key plays.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Although I will say, I'll say this, Mike, I don't, thanks for the call again. I'll say this is if anybody out there thinks the Raiders lost yesterday's game because of any call, and again, the Gabe Jackson call was terrible. He got ejected. Now that's sort of a game changer when you're already thin at the line and you lose Gabe Jackson. okay? That one, I everybody's got legitimate. There was a couple other calls, including the Aguilar non-pass interference call. But again, if that's what you're worried about, Mike, with all due respect, I don't think that's the problem. I just don't.
No.
But it is.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. But there's in the course of a game, there's always going to be some bad calls. And you're right. The Raiders have been always on the bad end of that. All right, we're going out to Alan now in Las Vegas as well. Alan, you're on with Q and Scott.
Hey, guys. Scott, I just wanted to echo something you said earlier at the top of the show is when you said, look, anybody blaming Derek Carr, I mean, that's totally unwarranted. And the offense, I mean, obviously they didn't block for the running game at all, but what are you supposed to do when you're preparing for a team like Tampa who's number one against the rush and you don't have any of your offensive linemen able to practice? I mean, that's one thing. But I think the greater thing is this, that 3rd and 13 that they had, they did everything right, just like you guys are saying, and they weren't able to get off the field. That was the total turning point because, like you said, if they get the ball back there, they're probably going to go down and score a touchdown the way the offense was doing. I mean, they were doing pretty well up until that point, and that was a total game changer. And then the last thing here, getting back to the offensive line. So, like, Brandon Parker had to come into the game because Young got hurt and had to go out. When that happened, I don't think that there was a Raider fan anywhere in the world who was like, oh, this is fine. You know, the Raiders are going to come back and win this game. Brandon Parker is the last guy on your depth chart, maybe besides John Simpson. And the only reason Parker's there, because I had some friends telling me, like, why is Parker still there? I'm like, Parker's not supposed to play. That's why they have Sam Young. That's why they have John Simpson, who they drafted. That's why they kept, I know Simpson's a guard, but that's why they kept Denzel Good, who can play guard and tackle, because Parker's not supposed to be in there. And when that happened, they had to help out with Witten, and the wheels just fell off. So it was a rough game all around. It was rough having Jackson disqualified for, I didn't see what it was, but they said he stepped on someone. But look, things get better from here. Trent Brown should be back. Incognito's coming back. The offensive line finally won't be this patchwork, you know, island of misfit toys, and the running game should be able to get something going against Cleveland. I want to know what you guys think. Anyway, thanks for taking my call. Great show, guys. Keep it up.
Alan, thanks for the call, man. Yeah, no, I mean, you're right on all that. Although I will say this, and I said it yesterday, with the exception of two plays that I remember, including one where he stepped on his own guy, Brandon Parker actually played well yesterday. I mean, I'm not saying he's a guy you're gonna play again.
No,
I'm just saying,
don't want him out there.
No, but he and Alan's 100% right about that. But he actually played well yesterday. So I said earlier that the slander against Brandon Parker for the course of his career, fine, whatever. He hasn't shown much yet, except in the run game. But yesterday, he actually was okay. So, but again, if you have Brandon Parker in there, to Alan's point, Q, you know you have reached DEFCON 1, where it is just a battle and you're at the worst possible situation. All right, we're going to go now on to our newsmaker line, as we do every Monday at this time, and we bring in the man we affectionately call our uncle. That, of course, is Hondo Carpenter from Sports Illustrated, Illustrated's Raider Maven website. Hondo, how you doing on this Monday, my friend?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, so here we go, Hondo. Of course, everybody wants heads on stakes. They want people fired. They want players dropped tomorrow. Of course, all of that is an overreaction. All of it is emotional fandom, which I understand, and people need to get the heat off their chest. They need to kind of get that anger out. But when you look at this situation, Hondo, the defense, the coaching staff, most likely, unless something changes between now and the end of the season, it is what it is. John Gruden said today in his press conference, we are where we are, which means the people who will make this defense better are already in the building. That includes players, and that includes coaches.
Yeah, a couple things stood out to me I want to first talk about. And you guys know, I'm on your show every week, and I've come in here and talked about effort and how impressed I was. Even in losses, you saw guys with effort. Yesterday was the first time where I saw the Raiders on either side of the ball where they just seemed to be clueless, and that really was on the defense, where they just seemed to be, I mean, there was no pressure, there was nothing, and I would specifically watch guys. Now, listen, you're down Damon Arnette and Jonathan Abram. You're down half of your defensive backfield going against, perhaps, I think he's the second best quarterback in history. So he's going to be able to pick you apart if you can't get any pressure I'm just continued to remain disappointed with the linebacker play. Then there were some guys that I just specifically watched, and I thought, man, there just doesn't seem to be that overreaching effort. Guys aren't in, it's not there. Now, that can be for any number of reasons, but I'm going to say this, and I have always come on your show, and I've taken a ton of criticism when I defended Derek, when people wanted his head on a plate, and I said, that's ridiculous. But I'm going to tell you, as an observer, and my job is to tell the truth, it was the first time where I saw the defense and I thought, okay, you know, I understand you're down some players. I get that. But you still have guys that are, you know, high-priced free agents that are not producing at a level that you would hope. And you're still not able to get pressure when you should have been able to get pressure on Tom Brady. That's a concern. That is, you know, for take out the players that were injured and couldn't play, like an Abram and like an Arnett, and that should, you know, that certainly played to his success, Tom's success. But I'm concerned about the guys that were on the field and were not producing at a high level. That, to me, was a bigger concern. I said on Raider Nation Radio on Friday that with the loss of the offensive linemen all week in practice, this was a game I thought they would win. And I did not think they would. I changed it on Friday because of what happened. I think you saw them at 24-20. They were right in the game. But, again, I'm concerned today. Now, nothing with the offense whatsoever, but I am concerned about the guys that did play on Sunday and effort. And I guess I shouldn't say effort because I don't believe anybody was just mailing it in. But production, that to me was a great concern.
Yeah, it was in a major way. And Hondo, you heard John Gruden after the game say that they're going to get that defense fixed. You know, they've been working on it. You heard him today talk about they've been working on it all morning long. What can he possibly do? What can him and Paul Gunther, Rod Marinelli, what can those guys do in the offices to try to get those guys to, like you said, get the results, not just effort, but results from the effort?
You know, I'm going to start with Max Crosby. He was a guy that, you know, yesterday didn't have a ton of numbers that got him helmet stickers around the world, but I thought his effort was super good. So I'm putting him out of that for a minute. But I just, first of all, guys have to have a boot in their can that explains to them, you know, part of being a professional is all the time. I want to share a great story with you about Michael Jordan that I had a privilege of being having a firsthand witness. The Bulls were going in to play the Minnesota Timberwolves early in the Timberwolves' history when they'd first started, and it was a game that the Bulls didn't need. They didn't need Michael Jordan to win it, and I happened to be standing right probably 8 feet from Michael, and somebody asked Michael about taking the night off. And Michael looked at him and goes, so what do I say to all those people that don't have a lot of money, but they saved to buy a ticket to see me? Mm-hmm. This isn't about Michael. This is about those people in the stands. And he just refused to take nights off. You guys remember how he played. He just didn't do it, didn't believe in it. Mm-hmm. And there comes a point where you have to have professional pride. And you have to be able to, you know, you don't need a coat. This isn't high school. It isn't college where Nick Saban's going to put his boots so far up your can that you can tell if it's a steel toe or not. I mean, this is a place where there has to be guys just simply putting more effort in it. I understand that you're down. I understand you're down a lot of players. But you know what? This is a team that's still a very good team. This is a Raider team that I still believe can rebound, especially with people getting back healthy, and can go 10-6 and be a playoff squad. But at the same time, this is where some of your veterans have to improve their play. And so everyone today is, what about coaching? And, yep, there are some things schematically. They're going to have to get pressure. The Raiders are not good enough to let quarterbacks sit back there and pick them apart. Now, I've heard some fans that said, well, how come they were able to do it against Patrick but not against Brady? They're two different quarterbacks. You don't have to worry about Tom running. You do have to worry about him throwing. So they were able to bring a lot more guys against the Patrick Mahomes because he was a guy that was going to get out of the pocket quick. Mm-hmm. Well, with Tom Brady, you can't necessarily do that. So coaching schematically is going to have to figure out, okay, we're not able to rush with four. So how do we get pressure? Because we have to get pressure. I think they're going to have, I mean, they need to have a long talk with Littleton. They need to go sit down with several guys and say, you know, come on, guys, we need this out of you. At the end of the day, each of these guys is getting a paycheck. You may remember the Atlanta Falcons first-round running back pick, T.J. Duckett.
Yep.
T.J.'s a very super good friend of mine. And I'll never forget once we were talking about media criticism. And he said to me, you know what? I think the media should give breaks to college kids. Doesn't mean you don't hold them accountable. He goes, but when you get to the NFL, you're getting paid big money. He goes, I'm sorry. You got to hold people accountable to the check. And I thought that was a brilliant thing. And when he retired a lot, he had plenty of opportunities to go play at other places. And he said to me, I'm not going to just take a paycheck. And if I don't think I can perform up to the level of the paycheck, I'm not going to take it. And T.J. Duckett walked away from the game.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying to you guys, that was concerning to me watching some veterans in their play yesterday. And I'm going to watch closely because, to me, they're going into Cleveland. And even though Cleveland has a decent record, I think Cleveland's got some issues and warts. I think this is a game that the Raiders should win, even though it's on the road to the East Coast. And I want to see, do those guys pick it up? To me, that's going to be a statement on coaching.
Oh, yes.
Do these coaches go and call out those veterans and get those veterans to respond with pride? I believe they will. Yeah. I don't think there's, and, I mean, I think
Hondo,
there may be one or two, but that's it, guys on this team.
Well, and that's what you got
to... That, well, I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, Hondo, that's what you need to do, though, is you need to, if there are one or two of those guys who just aren't going to do it, then you need to root them out, right? And you need to start thinking about some of those guys. And if they're on the front, then you have guys like Dayton Jones, you have David Irving, who they just signed, you have Chris Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Get, you know, hey, those guys are hungry, I bet you. I bet you they'd love a shot to show what they can do. And then if it's at the linebacking core situation too, you got to look at that. And you're right. The Corey Littleton situation, who knows what's going on there. But to me, the Cleveland game is massive. How the Cleveland game goes will be huge for this team, because I think if they can go on this trip, and even if they came back at 1-1, but beating Cleveland and then they got to go play the Chargers down in Los Angeles, if as long as you can start to put this together and start to make progress, we thought they did that in the second half against the Chiefs, but there's got to be soul searching, and there's got to be a little bit of boot in the backside, like you said, but we'll know. I mean, you really do know by this time of the season what teams are going to be like, so the Raiders need to decide, and they have the rest of this week before the game to say, hey, here's who we are.
Yep, and I'm going to say this, Trent Brown let this team down. But look at how the offense responded. After the game, I asked Derek Carr and I asked John Gruden about the fact, hey, it's the NFL. There's no silver linings. A loss is a loss, period. But with the adversity the offense faced, can you talk about the pride that you had in your offense? And I thought you saw that in the offense. It said, listen, we faced adversity. We got to make sure we step up, and they did. I am concerned that we're not seeing that on the defensive side of the ball. Now, I know a lot of people are blaming it on Paul Gunther, and I came on your show last week and the week before and the week before and have defended Paul because guys were in the right places and they weren't making plays. And after yesterday, now I think it's where Paul has to make a statement, or he's got to go have some meetings with some guys in Mayock and get John in those meetings and say, listen, you're not producing, but look at the tape of your effort.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this. You know, at some point, you know, listen, Tom Brady's made a lot of people look stupid. I have no issues with that. I get it. I understand it. Second best quarterback in the history of the game of football. But when you have guys in other positions that are on the field that aren't making plays, that is a grave concern. And to me, that's going to be the biggest statement taking on Cleveland this weekend, is not the guys that aren't there, the guys that are there and were there last week. Do they improve their level of play? And I want to go back real quickly just to the Gabe Jackson thing. What a sham that this guy got kicked out.
Yep.
Now, if I've looked at every angle I can see, so if there's an angle I haven't seen, I will apologize. But what a sham. And if he's going to get kicked out, how in the world is Ndamukong Suh still playing? Now, that had nothing to do with the outcome of the game. But again, I think Raider fans deserve a lot of respect because I've stood up and, you know, a lot of times and said, you know, come on, guys, this isn't the NFL picking on you. I don't think it was the NFL picking on them moving the game early. They had to protect the Sunday evening game. But that was a sham joke. I felt bad for Gabe, and the whole thing was a sham.
Yeah, no, it really was. And with that being said, Hondo, like you mentioned, you know, it wasn't the game changer. It wasn't what made them lose the game. And matter of fact, for everything that they were going through, the offensive line did pretty decent.
I was impressed. I was impressed with the fight. I was impressed mm-hmm. with the grit. I saw guys that were getting in there with no practice, and it was hand-to-hand combat. You know, I don't know how much people got to see on television because obviously I'm there at Allegiant. But I watched that closely. I'm a guy that's fixated on the lines. And the hand-to-hand raw combat was so impressive to me. Guys that were out, not practicing, who just battled. And to me, this offense, Derek, there is zero concern on the offense with me. All of it's on defense now. And I want to see guys that are getting paid the money to produce. And I understand, and I want to keep saying this because I think it's really important. I don't think it's getting enough attention. When you're down two of your four defensive backs against Tom Brady, you're already in trouble. But Jim Tressel once said to me, you need to talk about the people that were playing, not the ones that weren't. And there were too many guys that were playing Saturday that were on the field and wearing silver and black and not producing. And that is a grave concern.
It is. And Hondo, we appreciate it. We always get the truth from you as you see it, and we appreciate it very much. We'll talk to you next week, hopefully on a Victory Monday.
I agree. Thanks, gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
All right, there you go. Hondo Carpenter. Follow him on Twitter, at Hondo Carpenter. You can also read him and his staff. Great website, Sports Illustrated's Raider Maven website as well. We're going to step aside, take a break. When we come back, we'll take your phone call, 702-365-9200. What would you do to fix the Raider defense? Let us know. You're with Q and Scott here on Silver and Black Today, only on Raider Nation Radio.
Well, we've got to take a good look at it, Jess. I mean, it's a breakdown here. It's a breakdown there. It's not a good enough rush there. We've got to look at the coverages that we're playing. That's what we've been doing. Perhaps we need to change a few things to fit the strengths of our people. Maybe we can do a better job of that. We're in a laboratory right now trying to find the right mix. A lot of new players, a lot of young players, not a lot of offseason. We're not the only defense in pro football that is struggling at times, but we have the right stuff. We've got enough talent, and we're going to make some changes, and hopefully we get better results.
If you believe Tom Brady did fumble and that Franco Harris didn't catch that pass and call it the Immaculate Deception, then you found the right place. This is Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Welcome back, Silver and Black Today. Scott Colbranson along with Q Myers. The incomparable Bobby Machado bringing us into Led Zeppelin. Kind of like that. We are talking about the Raiders' loss. You heard John Gruden coming back in there. And for all of you who woke up and decided that their week would be made only if Paul Gunther was fired, you're going to wait a long time. Still not going to happen, as you can see there. Doesn't mean it won't happen at some point, but I just don't see it happening. And if that's what you think is going to fix this Raider defense, then let me know, 702-365-9200. Q, we're going right back on the phone lines. Our guy Rich up in Oakland. Rich, you're on with Q. You're on with Scott. You're on Silver and Black Today.
Hey, what's up, Scott? What's up, Q?
Hey, man.
Chilling.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think Paul Gunther is going to go anywhere right now because that's Chucky's best friend. And I don't know what, you know, what Paul Gunther has over Chucky. I understand, you know, like, it's not all of Paul Gunther's fault. You know, this team is just depleted at the talent position. You know, we just don't have any talent on defense, you know. We draft Cleveland Farrell over Devin White. Devin White literally went the next pick. Mayock blew that pick. You know, I'm not going to, you know, Mayock deserves some smoke out here, especially for this year's draft. You know what I mean? Like, he blew two third-round picks, you know, on Moose
and on Bowden. You know what I mean? Moose hasn't even seen the field. Bowden is not even getting snaps with the Dolphins. You know, we should have. We need to get talented players, not, you know, not projects. We need to get defensive players that come in and produce right away. You know, you bring Littleton over from the Rams. I seen him literally on TV yesterday yawning on the field. He was yawning. You could see it in his face. He's disinterested, you know. The defense needs a lot of talent. It's missing a lot of talent, and it's missing also a better coach. You know, Paul Gunther, I don't think that Gruden's going to – unless we go to Cleveland and they put a 50-burger on us, then I'll see Paul Gunther getting out of here. But besides that, you know, we just need some talent on defense, and guys need to step it up. You know, I hope David Irving comes in this week and shows some type of effort, you know, but Cleveland Farrell, Max Crosby, Arden Key, this defensive line is terrible. Derek Carr, you know, nobody should put any blame on Derek. He's balling out. He's extending plays. He's showing heart. That's all I could ask from him. But, yeah, unless the Raiders give up a 50-burger, I really don't feel like Gruden is going to get rid of Paul Gunther. That's his best friend. Yep. But I hope we get it together because wild card is still an option this year. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, Rich, good call. Thanks, man. Although I'll say this, Q, and tell me where I'm wrong when I say this, because really good call from Rich there. Although, yeah, are the Raiders there with talent yet? Clearly not. But they went out and they signed Carl Nassib to a big contract. They signed Malik Collins. All camp talked about how great Malik Collins was.
Right.
Okay.
I did too.
Yeah, no, so did I.
I got that one wrong.
No, I did too. I'm not absolving us of buying into the hype. I'm just saying that they upgraded talent. There's no question. I mean, based on paper, based on past play, they didn't go out and get a bunch of retread guys past their prime.
No.
They went out and got guys that are younger in their career. I mean, look at the contract they gave Nassib. So you have him. And then his point about Littleton. To me, Littleton is by far the biggest disappointment on the entire Raiders team.
Yeah, I mean, he is. And that at this point, honestly, and this is something that Hugh Jackson did, and I know, you know, Raider Nation feels a certain way about Hugh Jackson when he was the head coach, and I do too. He made plenty of mistakes. But one thing I thought he did really well when he took over as the head coach, he pulled Darren McFadden aside and said, "What do you like to do?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do best?" And then he designed a bunch of plays around what Darren McFadden liked to do. And you saw Darren McFadden have a big season. So fast forward to 2020, and you bring in these guys that are free agents, you can't ask them to do something that they haven't done. The reason that you brought them in is because of what you saw them do and what you want them to do in your defense. You have to continue to set them up and allow them to do what they do. So if Corey Littleton is not performing like you want him to do, and clearly he's not, Paul Gunther needs to pull him aside and say, "Where do you excel? How can I put you in a position to succeed?" Instead of, "I'm just going to tell you to do what I want you to do, and you go," at some point you have to say, "How can I help you?" And that's, I think, the next step that Paul Gunther is going to have to take with some of these guys, because they spent money on the defense, and they're not getting the results.
Well said. We're going to go quickly. Our good buddy Steven out in New Orleans before the top of the hour break. Steven, you're on with Scott and Q.
Hey, guys, how are y'all doing? Scott, you want to do me a favor?
What's that?
Ask me what I think of the defense's execution.
What do you think?
I'm all in favor of it.
I love that tweet.
That's an old coach line, by the way. I think Lombardi may have said that after he left Green Bay when they asked him about his team's defense one year, or his whole team. But, you know, I don't know much about defense because, being a Raider fan, I haven't seen much good defense in a long time. But I still say this is the best defense is his offense, and I'm not going to kill him on the field goal try, but I almost like what I spoke to you guys about before the Kansas City game, is if we're at our 40, almost every fourth in management we should be going for at this point, because the defense, until it shows us it can stop anything, I don't know that a 40-yard field is much different than a 70-yard field with the way we're playing defense. So the way to win is do what we did against New Orleans and Kansas City. We just got to keep scoring and keep that offense on the other team on the bench.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate the show, and I look forward to hearing your comments.
All right, Steven, as always, thanks for your call. Okay, we're up against the top of the hour break. When we come back, it's going to be time for the Q-tip, a little early today because it's Monday. And then coming up at 3:20 p.m., our good friend Hunter Renfro will join us for 13 minutes with Hunter Renfro, brought to you by the Laborers Local 872. You're on with Silver and Black today, powered by Salmon Ash Injury Attorneys here on Raider Nation Radio.